Good evening. This is Religion in the News, compiled, edited, and recorded at the Interdenominational Theological Center, and I'm Clarence Steger.
And I'm Isaac R. Clark, and we're both bringing you current religious news and social news with religious significance from both near and far.
Mrs. Martin Luther King, Jr. will take part in the Poor People's Campaign in Washington, which has been reset for mid-May. The Reverend Ralph Abernathy, president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, said here in Atlanta Wednesday. Mrs. King, who, with singer Harry Belafonte, has been named to the board of directors of SCLC, may participate in the campaign for the striking garbage workers in Memphis, Tennessee, Abernathy said. That campaign will resume next week. Abernathy was unanimously elected Monday night as president of the SCLC by the board. His official election was a confirmation of the spontaneous expression of confidence and mutual expectancy of the SCLC staff last Thursday, said the Reverend J.E. Lowry, board chairman. Mrs. King's announced participation in Washington, her possible participation in the Memphis program, and her election to the board apparently reflected the SCLC aim to use her as a rallying point following the slaying of her husband in Memphis last Thursday. The SCLC board now has 53 members and meets twice a year, Mr. Lowry said.
We also hear that a poor people's banquet will be held in Atlanta Friday night at Wheat Street Baptist Church, sponsored by the Metropolitan Atlanta Summit Leadership Congress. The banquet will support the Poor People's March to Washington of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and will focus attention on the conditions in Atlanta. Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer, who ran for Congress last year on the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party ticket, will be the featured speaker at a program following a soul food buffet supper. A conference on Saturday morning will pinpoint specific needs in Atlanta and will plan for action dealing with these problems. The Metropolitan Atlanta Summit Leadership Congress is an interracial organization of individuals and organizations working to solve Atlanta's social and economic problems. Membership is open to all, regardless of race, color, or creed, as written in the bylaws. The co-chairmen are Reverend J.E. Boone, Reverend Howard Creasy, and Dr. Otis Smith. Mrs. Eliza K. Paschal is the executive director of the Congress.
As a nation, we are rapidly approaching the brink of armed conflict in our cities, is a warning from the General Board of the National Council of Churches. At a recent meeting in San Diego, California, the group adopted a special action program to coordinate the resources of the council and member churches to meet this crisis. In a statement introducing the program, the board said, "This nation is in the midst of its most threatening domestic crisis of the past 100 years. Continued denial of equal opportunities produces mounting frustrations as we move further into 1968. National Council President Dr. Arthur S. Fleming, offices and staff, will implement the program, which is designed to strengthen, accelerate, and fully coordinate the resources of the churches and the National Council in the crucial struggle for national justice and equality. As examples of immediate action needed, a statement urged development of a communication network between councils at all levels and communions that would enable the church to respond promptly to specific opportunities to prevent the outbreak of conflict, the acceleration of conflict, and to minister to the needs of those who are the victims of conflict," the statement said.
Here in Atlanta, we hear that the Georgia Council of Churches Executive Board plan to send a committee to discuss with Governor Lester Maddox how the council can help in the efforts to ease urban tensions during the long, hot summer. During a board meeting at the Presbyterian Center recently, other plans of action in dealing with the crisis in the nation were discussed, but no definite plans were set up. The Reverend James L. Weldon, vice president of the council and pastor of the First Methodist Church of Monroe, Georgia, called upon representatives of the member denominations to discuss what their groups are doing in this direction. Many denominations are setting up special study programs for adults on the racial crisis, special crisis education coordinators with emergency study, and action programs have been planned for neighborhood churches. Some are urging church members to support efforts to legislate justice for minorities in housing, education, and welfare and job opportunities.
Legal requirements that clergymen and members of local church official boards abstain from the use of alcohol should be changed, the Methodist Board of Christian Social Concerns believes. Meeting in San Antonio, Texas, the board adopted a resolution which will ask the April Uniting Conference to remove from the Methodist discipline the paragraph prohibiting use not only of alcohol, but also forbidding tobacco use by ministers. The latter was said to lead to a double standard for clergymen and laymen. Both rules produce hypocrisy and loss of integrity, the statement declared. The board's recommendation emphasized that it did not condone either smoking or drinking, and stressed that abstinence as a voluntary measure would be encouraged in the United Methodist Church. The complete dedication of oneself to the ministry was said to be sufficient restraint on both matters, the commission stated.
From Columbus, Ohio, we hear that the Right Reverend William R. Wilkes, presiding prelate of the Third Episcopal District of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and formerly AME Bishop in Georgia, was recently awarded a special citation from Governor R.G. Rhodes of Ohio. The beautiful plaque read as follows, "For the advancement of the prestige of Ohio." And the presentation was made at the Sheraton Columbus before more than 1,000 banquet guests. The native Georgian, now presiding over Ohio, West Virginia, and Western Pennsylvania, was thrilled by the award and pointed out that it was a tribute to the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Pointing to some of the achievements made in the 3rd Episcopal District during the past 4 years, Bishop Wilkes indicated that many new churches have been built and others have been remodeled or have added educational facilities. Then there were several projects of continuing education for ministers and laymen throughout the district under the auspices of Daniel Payne Seminary at historic Wilberforce University. He also noted that Wilberforce University, over which he is chancellor, is making rapid strides under President Dr. Rembert Stokes, indicating specifically that the enrollment has doubled, that the budget has tripled, and that the faculty has been strengthened with the addition of 10 professors on the doctoral level during the current school year.
George Albrecht, allegedly injured 4 years ago in an accident, which a jury described as an act of God, has filed suit in Lake Worth, Florida, against a group designated as God and Company. Albrecht originally sued the city of Lake Worth and a construction firm, claiming that he was injured when a rain-soaked sidewalk collapsed under him in 64. A jury ruled the claim was invalid and invoked the act of God rule. Reverend E.W. Zlick of Temple Pentecostal Church said that if he brings the principal defendant into this court, I'll be glad to come and testify for him.
Pulpit exchanges have long since become commonplace. Now, for the first time, certainly on so large a scale, congregational exchanges are being planned. Thousands of members of congregations related to the Consultation on Church Union will go as official visitors to other congregations on Consultation Visitation Sunday, scheduled for April 28th. In previous years, ministers of consultation churches have exchanged pulpits, but this year they will remain in their own pulpits, and representative members of these churches will exchange pews. Persons chosen as official visitors will prepare for their assignments through the study of the Consultation's Green Book, which contains the principles of church union, a summary of the 1967 meeting in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and a study guide. Pastors will meet with official visitors after the observance to evaluate its effectiveness. Primary aim of the observance is to give new measures of visibility to our conviction that the church is one, made so by the act of God in Christ, according to Dr. David Caldwell of Seattle, the consultation's chairman.
It seems quite appropriate to me that at this time of the year, as president of the Interdenominational Theological Center's student body, we should say that at this Easter season, as the world hovers in the shadow of a military crisis in Vietnam, the ever-present possibility of annihilation of humanity by nuclear weapons, And here in our nation, the threat of civil war brought on by the massive acts of violence, estrangement, and division caused by racism and hatred. That we should point to the events of almost 2,000 years ago and a dismal Friday afternoon when humanity committed its worst crime. But we'd also like to point to the hope in the events of the Sunday 3 days later. The glorious events of the first Easter has special significance for us today if we would look in faith and be caught up in the faith of those who experienced the hope and joy of Easter Sunday circa 33 A.D. On this Easter Sunday, 20 centuries later, may we recognize that he who controlled the events of that day still has his plans for mankind, so there is still hope for us. The student body of ITC extends our sincere wish for a blessed, beautiful Easter and a plea to the world to grasp the real significance of this holy day.
The tragic assassination and the massive funeral of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. overshadowed most of the news in the past 10 days, both locally and nationally. And because of what he was, and did, and stood for, and meant to so many people, such outpouring of feeling and emotions in our nation and throughout the world was natural. And, too, for the past 40 days, and more intensely in the past week, millions of Christians throughout the world have been mourning and meditating also upon the tragic crucifixion of Jesus Christ our Lord, nearly some 2,000 years ago. Thus it seems that many of us have borne the burden of a double portion of sorrow in the past few days. But today is Easter, a symbol of hope in our world, in the midst of an abundance of moral sickness that makes us mourn. And it is our hope here at ITC that you in our listening audience have been able to capture a vision of the meaning of this day to give you comfort and strength and courage to meet the challenges of the days ahead victoriously. And especially do we pray that the King family will experience this day and in the days ahead the power of the God of all comfort and strength and courage in the midst of their bereavement. This is all for today. So long, and may God be with you.